Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful day. Thank you for being here. A few announcements. Just remember to pass your red pad down, sign it, name and address, that type of information. We would appreciate it. And just a reminder, during communion service, we hold all the sacramental elements until all have been served and we partake together. And session meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, June 10th, that's this Wednesday, at 7 p.m. And need VBS teachers, you can contact Heather Perman or B.J. Morrison or the church office. And just remind you about scripture readers, you can still sign up for that and you can read the other announcements. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Before we have our hymn, we have a minute for mission with Nancy Ball.
Thank you, Leonard. Good morning.
Good morning.
So as you all probably hopefully remember, a couple months ago we had talked about the fact that Glenshaw Valley is a fabulous church and we want to be able to expand our services to the community so that we are effectively serving those in our community as well, as best as we can. And so the session and some fabulous members from the congregation had started on a journey with a gentleman by the name of Doug Port from Pittsburgh Presbytery to see how we could do this. Unfortunately, Doug Port was called for another calling, and he is no longer going to be able to lead us through this journey. So right now, we are sort of back at square one, sort of. We do have our group together, our very dedicated group together, who are going to continue to work with us and work through this process. But right now, we're sort of back at choosing how we want to partake of this journey. So just wanted to make sure that you were aware of the fact that, you know, while we are no longer going in the direction that we were going to go with Doug Ports, it does not mean that the journey has stopped. We are going to continue on this mission and on this path, and right now we're in the process of choosing from three different programs that we've already looked at and we're in the process of reviewing, and hopefully we're only about a month behind, and at that point when we meet again in June, we'll be able to choose which program we're going to use that will lead us down the correct path so that we can continue to provide the services that, you know, we want so desperately to provide to the community so that we are as effective and as efficient as possible as a church and in this community. So please, if you have any questions or concerns about any of this, or you just want to, or you want to participate in the program, because, you know, there's still, you know, we're still, the more the merrier as far as we're concerned. So please feel free to talk to anybody in session, or anybody who you know who is already participating in the program. Please ask questions. Please, you know, ask us if you would like to join. You know, we'd love to have any help and any assistance and any suggestions. We're open to all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nancy. Hymn of praise, My Hope is in the Lord, 406. let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear God, we thank you for not giving up on humanity. We praise you for caring about us as individuals. Forgive us when we fail to trust you. Forgive our lack of faith. Remind us to always go to you in prayer when we are hurting. Help us to establish prayer as part of our daily routine. Teach us how to get up when we fall down spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Faith as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Someone here you do not know, be sure to ask their name.
Thank you.
Responsive reading is 718 in the back of your hymnals, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith. 718, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, His Father, who raised Him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver His people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations,
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom He renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us His people to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of
At this time, I invite Elder to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning. I
have a prayer request for Suzanne Connors. She made a trip to Florida to care for her elderly parents. We hope for a safe return and a safe time down there. A praise request from Kathy Segi from her mother-in-law, Roberta Robel. She wants to thank everyone for the prayers she got. She got out of the hospital on Thursday after her cancerous kidney was removed and it was done without complications.
Just add this, let's continue to be in prayer for the missional process. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day. Some among us are having great struggles, and they need your help and guidance. Some are kind of in a plateau in their life. Things aren't too bad, but maybe they're not great either. And then some may be having mountaintop experiences. But remind us to come to you in prayer regardless of where we are in our lives, because things can change. Those who feel like they can't fight anymore can rise up. Those who are on the mountaintop may find themselves in a struggle. So be with us. Remind us that you are the God who loves us, has compassion upon us, and has prepared a place in heaven for all eternity for each and every one of us. We thank you for that, Lord. And we lift up everyone who is hurting today. All the prayer requests we lay before your feet. Thank you for hearing them and answering them and loving us and caring about us. And help us to love and care for one another. When times are tough, to be there for our friends, our family, our church members. Lord, thank you for this wonderful prayer that you gave to your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is Hymn of Preparation, a screen song, Your Grace is Enough. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with this day and with life. You've given us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to bring things back to our remembrance when we have studied the Scriptures. You have given each and every one of us blessings that sometimes we don't even recognize. But we come into your house today, and we give back of our tithes and our offerings We give of ourselves in worship and song and friendship. Help us to be there and lift one another up. Thank you. Everything this congregation does for this church, for our community, for their families, for the world. Bless them, Lord, in the precious name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Okay, today it's the 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentum troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory for far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Very nice. Have you ever noticed that some people, it just seems like they can't win no matter what? It's like one lady I heard, and this is a true story. In 1957, Richie Ashburn, the center fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, swung and hit a foul ball and hit a spectator named Alice Roth in the head. Now that hurts. But as she was being taken away on a stretcher, Ashburn slammed another foul ball and hit her in the head again. Poor Alice. I guess it just wasn't her day. Now, I've had days like that, and I'm sure each and every one of you have also. Reverend Alan Carr tells about an advertisement that once appeared in a newspaper in New York City. The ad was sponsored by the Hayden Planetarium. It was an invitation for anyone who would like to make the first journey to another planet to submit an application. But within just a matter of days, 18,000 people submitted their applications. These applications were given to a panel of psychologists who, upon receiving them, concluded that the vast majority who had applied wanted to start a new life on a new planet because they were so discouraged by life on this planet. I wonder if anyone here today can relate to that. Are you so discouraged by life itself that you would like to go somewhere, even another planet, and make a new start? St. Paul had many problems as anyone, and more than most people, and he never had the comforts of a family life. And he spent years traveling under the most primitive conditions. He was persecuted, shipwrecked, beaten, thrown in prison, and most likely martyred for his faith. He made enormous sacrifices for the cause of Christ. Yet he was continually criticized by people both within the church and outside of the church. And yet, Paul never seemed to get discouraged. He was like one guy named Larry Olson. He cites in his book, Outdoor Survival Skills. According to Olson, this guy had been out of food and water for days. His lips were parched and bleeding. His tongue was swollen out in the desert. His legs were bruised. His feet were raw. Some of his bones were almost peeking out through his skin as he dragged himself through that hot desert. He was scraped by the rocks. The blowing sand had scoured his back and his arms. Insects had just literally chewed him up, and cactus needles, when he was trying to get some, were pricking him. His skin was blistered, of course, by the sun. And as he crawled over a little rise and he finally got to that top, he propped himself up on one elbow. He looked across the burning wasteland and said, You know, another few days like this, and I just might get discouraged. I think St. Paul could relate to that. Yet he never gave up, never felt sorry for himself. He had enormous faith in Christ. Listen again as he writes in today's lesson from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What a magnificent statement of faith. 2 Corinthians is an intensely personal letter written by Paul in response to reports he had received from Titus about the Corinthians' response to the first letter that he had written to them. Though many in Corinth had repented of some of the behavior, Paul was still concerned. There were some false teachers who tried to undermine Paul's efforts and sought to discredit his ministry. Paul shared his heartfelt love for the church and some of the trials and suffering he had endured for the sake of Christ. The passage we're looking at today gives us some insight into Paul's ability to handle the setbacks that were a major part of his life. And what empowered Paul to endure in the face of his suffering was his immovable faith in God. Paul was an amazing man. Most of us, if we experienced the kind of setbacks that Paul experienced, would be whining, complaining, and we would just give up. It would just be too much to handle. We'd be like, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but Tevye in the Broadway musical Fiddler on the Roof. He kept a running dialogue with God, giving credit for the good things that had happened to him, and also lamenting everything that went wrong in his life. In one scene, his horse goes lame. There he sits dejected by the side of the road with his lame horse. And he's talking to God and he says, "No, God, I can understand it when you punish me when I'm bad, or when my wife talks too much, or my daughter when she wants to go off and marry a Gentile. But, Lord, what have you got against my horse?" Some of us can identify with him. Paul wasn't like that. No matter what happened, Paul seemed to always be able to roll with the punches. He was able to go with the flow because Paul had an amazing faith in God. I think it's the kind of faith that you and I need. People who have faith when battling against overwhelming odds inspire the rest of us. I think sports fans will remember Jim Valvano. He was the head of the coach of the NC State basketball team, and they won a national championship against the Houston team. He was diagnosed, though, with terminal cancer in June 1992. And just 8 weeks before he died, he gave a speech for the ESPY Awards that are presented by ESPN. And you can find that speech on YouTube. It's an amazing speech to listen to. While accepting the inaugural Arthur Ashe Courage and Humanitarian Award, Valvano announced the creation of the V Foundation for Cancer Research, an organization dedicated to finding a cure for cancer. He announced that the foundation motto would be, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up." That was certainly true of his coaching legend. During his speech, the teleprompter stated that he had 30 seconds left. Valvano looked at the teleprompter and then said to the crowd, "They just put up on the screen that I have, and it's flashing, that I have 30 seconds left to speak. Like I care about that screen. I got tumors all over my body, and I'm worried about some guy in the back going, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, wrap it up." His speech included this statement: "To me, there are three things we should all do every day. We should do this every day of our lives. Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And then number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special. Garvana's acceptance speech became legendary, and he closed by saying, "Cancer can take away all of my physical abilities. It can touch, but it cannot take. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And these three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you, God, and God bless you all." He could have been rephrasing St. Paul's words. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For we know that if this earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Paul's confidence was founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he knew Christ is alive, he knew life conquers death. Hope conquers despair, and love conquers hate. This is an attitude that we all attempted to give up on life. It is a sure hope that because Christ lives, tomorrow will be better than today. Well-known Bible student and preacher Vance Harden once noted that the Christian experience has three levels. First, there are mountaintop days. These are days when everything is going well and the world looks just bright and rosy. We're grateful for these mountaintop experiences, but they do not do much for us or those around us spiritually. If we had lived charmed lives, we're continually boasting about how God is so good to us. We only hurt those around us who are going through pain. And such good fortune will probably leave us with a shallow faith that has never been tested. A charmed life will ultimately be out to our detriment, but sometimes life is like that, mountaintop to mountaintop. The second part of life consists of ordinary days, when we work at our humdrum everyday tasks. On these days, we're neither elated nor depressed. This, of course, is where we spend most of our time. When we're young, such days are very boring. As we grow older, such days are reassuring. How many of you have gotten to the point where you think boring is good? No news is good news. Finally, there are the dark days, when we trudge heavily through confusion, through doubt, despair, and discouragement. Sometimes these days string out into months, even years, before we get any relief or sense any victory. Eventually, all of us will experience dark days. These are the days that test our faith. Nevertheless, these days offer us valuable benefits. They offer us the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth. When we have been through a time of testing, it gives us confidence that we can handle the next test or whatever comes in life. Some of you have been through very, very difficult times, more difficult than some of us know about or would even realize. Rather than making you bitter, hopefully by God's grace, it has made you better. But there is a second benefit. Dark days offer us the opportunity to witness our faith. Many years ago, an architect planned the walls of the royal palace in Tehran. It was going to be covered with beautiful mirrors that had been ordered from Paris. But when the shipment of mirrors arrived from Paris, every mirror had been smashed. Every single mirror was broken. The entire shipment was destroyed, so the grand entrance could not be completed. And just as the workmen started gathering the broken pieces to discard them, the architect said, "Wait a minute, I've got an idea." He took down a hammer and broke some of the larger pieces into tiny pieces. He gathered them up in his hands and walked over to the entry. He put some glue on the wall and arranged the tiny pieces of glass on the wall. He did this until he had an enormous montage of broken pieces of glass, and at no point were the mirrors broken alike, and at no point were the angles exactly alike. Today, the royal palace in Tehran is a dazzling, brilliant display of prisms reflecting light. And one visitor stood in awe and described the results like this: broken to be more beautiful. At some point in our lives, we might give that same testimony. I've been broken, and now I feel more beautiful. Anybody can handle the mountaintop experiences. That's no problem. It is when we can handle the dark days that our lives become a living testimony to our faith in God. As we sometimes say, God will use our mess as a message and our tests as a testimony. And finally, when we go through life's dark days, you're better able to have empathy for others who have gone through something similar. Your experiences bond you together. In such a setting, you're better able to share the love of Jesus Christ. Paul knew these dark days. He writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." This is the believer's hope. It is the hope that calls Stephen, the first martyr in the church, to look up and look up into the heavens, into the face of those also who are rejecting him, who are stoning him to death, and to be able to rejoice. It is that hope that has caused believers in the early church to willingly allow themselves to be hauled in the Colosseums and mauled and killed by lions, to be taken to the city, hung on posts, and lit on fire to be street lamps, all because they would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ. Hope says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Hope says, "I will not give up or despair, for all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." This is our witness to an unbelieving world. It is a life full of the love of Jesus Christ, whether life has us on a mountaintop, on the plain, or even down in the valley. Wherever we are, remember, God is with you. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. God is not going to give up on you. He's given you the promise of eternal salvation. Never walk away from God. Never walk away from the church. May God bless you. Amen. Communion hymn, "Break Thou the Bread of Life," verses 1 and 2, page 274.
Before you today, we come as imperfect people who have made mistakes, who have sinned, sometimes knowing we're sinning and we go ahead anyway. But we throw ourselves upon your mercy and we confess our sins once again before you, knowing that we still have our salvation, but our wrongdoings can keep us from a closer walk with you. As we receive the Lord's Supper, communion this day, may it touch our lives in a very special and unique way. May it help us to grow closer to you. May we really remember the sacrifice that you have made on our behalf. In the name of your Son and our Lord Jesus, amen. I just remind you that everyone can receive communion. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. We remind you to hold the elements once again until we're served. On the day our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and blessed it and said, "This is my body, which has been given for you." Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Let us, with a sense of unity, remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." He told his disciples to go out into all the world and preach the good news. Paul wrote, "If you could believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, you shall be saved." Let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus.
A hymn of response, "The Family of God," 282. Tears, but I hope you'll go thinking about your relationship with God, and I hope that you will never give up on your faith, that you will never give up on Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, understanding what he has done for you for all of eternity. Don't give up on God.
God will not give up on you. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.